Well, welcome to the 12th and final day of Christmas. Praise God. I know the acolytes are tired of lighting all the candles on the Advent wreath, and or maybe this could be 12 drummers drumming, however you like to identify, but I think we'll just keep our one awesome drummer for now. What a great time of year this has been. What a great stretch of time from Christmas all the way through into this new year. And not just celebrating another new year, but the milestone of the year 2020. Praise God. And we continue to sing the great Christmas hymn, "Joy to the World, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King." Jesus is our Lord of lords, our King of kings. He is the Lord of our souls. Praise God. And just as reflected in our gospel reading this morning, the three magi, the three wise men who searched and found the newly born Jesus. And they offered him gifts of a great king, and they paid him homage, and they worshiped him as the Messiah. And the wise men were inspired by their faith as they followed the brilliance, the vision of a heavenly, eternal light of the star of the Magi, the star that represents the light of Christ to us. And we were told in verse 10, when they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. And my prayer for each of us this morning on the 12th day of Christmas, as well as all of these 12 days of Christmas, is to find that special opportunity to experience, perhaps even in a new way, the joy of the Lord's presence upon our souls. Because tomorrow morning, it is going to be Monday, right? And all of our routines are coming to fruition by tomorrow morning when that alarm goes off. School will start up, and the traffic will kick in again around Cyprus, and it is going to be Monday. But tomorrow will also mark the actual day of the Epiphany. And it's been my prayer that tomorrow, despite getting back into our daily routines, that we will have an opportunity to experience the Lord's presence in a very special way. That we each can pay him homage as the King of our souls. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. Some of you know the words to the great hymn, "Joy to the World," were composed by Sir Isaac Watts in the year 1719. And he was considered a rock star of his day. And he composed these lyrics by being Holy Spirit inspired after reflecting and meditating on Psalm 98. Yet his words in verse 3 have always sort of captured my attention, as perhaps maybe they do for you. "No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow, far as the curse is found." Far as the curse is found. Blessings flow, curse is found. Have you ever wondered what exactly is the curse that is described in this great hymn? Well, please open your Red Pew Bibles. You may have to hunt around to find one. The 8 o'clock is moving them around a lot. But find a Red Bible. Open it up to the very beginning, to page 3. To Genesis chapter 3, beginning at verse 17. I just think it's important to hold God's word in your hand. Page 3, Genesis 3, starting at verse 17. "As the Lord God said to Adam, because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Now let me say first and foremost, listening to one's wife or spouse is a very, very good thing, okay? But what the Lord God was referring to in this creation narrative was that he had placed Adam in charge of the garden. And he gave very specific instructions to Adam. Look, you can have everything you want in this garden, but do not partake of the fruit of the tree of knowledge. That you cannot have. And of course, we know that Adam, as well as Eve, chose to go against God's will. And as a result, the curse of original sin was introduced into the world. As there is a human curse to which you and I are still connected to, as we are often subject to the power that sin has over our life. And we sometimes do choose to go against God's prescribed will. Yet because God is a loving God, we celebrate his joy to this world. Because our Lord and Savior has come to set us free. Free in the power of God's redeeming grace. Praise God. Now, please turn to the very back of your Bible, to page 879. You might as well keep them in your lap because we got a couple other places to go to. To Revelation chapter 22, the very back, page 879, beginning at verse 3. Revelation chapter 22, verse 3. And now you can say for this year, you have read from the beginning and the end of the Bible. But I also invite you to read everything in between these two sections. That is a great New Year's resolution. So turning now to verse 3 of chapter 22. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. Now, these words were written as a prophetic vision, as you know, by the Apostle John, who spiritually foresaw Jesus' second coming. And this type of vision is a sort of worldly restoration where God will restore everything back to God's original created intention in the image of God's goodness. So because of this, we can presently celebrate God's intended joy to this world. As we affirm, Christ has died, Christ has risen, and Christ will what? He's going to come again, all in the context of this. Now please turn to Romans on page 800. To Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 19. Page 800, Romans chapter 8, at verse 19. This is where we are today. And the Apostle Paul here encourages us at verse 19. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the sons, or other translations describe this as people of God, to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. So our hope is found, therefore, in God's love, as we open our hearts to receive Jesus into our souls, accepting him as our Lord and Savior, taking on his real Holy Spirit presence within us. Now, look down to verse 24. For in this hope we are saved. In this hope we are saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. I would say faithfully, reverently. What we wait for is the redemption of our souls to our Savior. You know, we are saved, but our goal is to live with God in heaven. In verse 26, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. So where we are weak in our sins, God is strong. And God has given us his Holy Spirit to redirect and to amend our lives according to live in God's prescribed will. All through God's salvation in Christ. And this is why we worship Jesus as our Savior and our King. No more let sin and sorrow grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow, far as the curse is found. Because of Jesus, we are truly blessed. Do you understand this? Do you believe this? Because it's kind of important right now. It's kind of important in who we are as Christians to believe this. Again, as Paul stated in our second epistle reading from Ephesians, blessed be the God who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing. He destined us for adoption as his children according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestows on us in the beloved being Jesus. Now, Monday is right around the corner. Yet Monday is also our epiphany moment of receiving God's blessings as a new day. God's gift of salvation sets us free. And because we still live with this curse, we cannot earn God's grace simply on our own, or being as good as we think we are or want to be. God gives to us so that in our hope, we learn to grow in our faith, to trust in God's eternal blessings of his grace. So as we embark into this new year, let us seize our epiphany opportunities and moments for God and focus on first who and what we truly are. We are God's adopted children. And we are spiritually blessed to live more fully into the light of God's love in Jesus. Let's give to God more of ourselves with a spiritual purpose. And I love this line, with eyes of our hearts enlightened. Let's share God's gifts with others, because we are blessed beyond immeasurable power. Knowing this, what will you do different for God in this important new year of 2020?